revival might hit Chino. How many know you have revival in your hearts already? Revival isn't an event. It's the life of God in you. Are we taking advantage of it? Amen. I want to welcome each and every one of you once again on this beautiful July 4th weekend. And a lot of craziness outside, but how many are glad for the peace of God on the inside and the confidence of no matter where this goes, we who believe win. But in the meantime, I want to win here and now too. I said, in the meantime, I want to win here and now too, as well. My birthright as an American citizen and as a patriot is to continue to live in freedom, born of God in the greatest nation that's ever existed, in which there is no systemic racism. Lie from the pit of hell. Is there racism? Absolutely. Racism is the result of sin, prejudice. It's all over the world. You'll never, ever, ever be able to eradicate prejudice. But you can form a nation where salt and light abide and constantly push back the powers of darkness. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of wickedness, in high places, a well-arrayed army, but who is a defeated foe, and it must kneel. I will never kneel to anybody but Jesus. It must kneel to the name of Jesus. That one kneels. Philippians 2 says that Jesus humbled himself and became a servant, obedient even unto the death of the cross. The result of that, he was given a name that is above every name that is named in heaven, in earth, and under the earth. And today, those of us who have received by faith, through grace, the simple gift of salvation, the Bible says, for those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, these will reign in life. I'm not talking about that life. He's talking about this life. I want to stand and believe God for this life. I don't see Tommy Reed here this morning. I saw Bob a minute ago. Where's Bob at? There he is. Tommy Reed's video on, Jackie showed me a video he did on Facebook. And what a tremendous young man, doing everything that he can, pulling the information together. And I saw his most recent one. He said, faith, not fear. Chris standing here behind the camera, a website, a blog site that is not a church website, but it is a forum. It gives us as a church, it gives Christians the opportunity to be able to take a stand, make a stand, speak your stand, and to fight back. Getting back to Tommy, I don't know if he got to you, if that's going to be tagged on there or not. I guess that's what crossed my mind. But faith, not fear. How many know that it is true? It's not just a slogan. It's a promise from God. Greater is he that is in us. Well, don't shout me down because I'm preaching good already. I said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And this is not the time to weaken. Listen, it has not been easy for me to navigate these waters. I'm not asking for pity, and I don't want any to become, say, Pastor Lee, that's not what I'm talking about at all. Don't even do that. I'll just look at you and hug you and change the subject. How's the weather? But it's not been, and I know that I haven't been perfect in how I've expressed it, but by God, when it gets down to that time, we're not going to be worried about how well or perfect we were, or the volume of our voice, or what we did, and accusations of my hair being on fire, and on drugs, and all kinds of craziness. The thing is that we did everything we could, and we will continue to do it. I want you to think about something. March, April, May, June. 4 months. Went just like this. I want you to think about something else. July, August, September, October. Do you understand the urgency of what has taken place? I must. You must. The misinformation campaign is absolutely incredible. They've got the big green bulldozers turned up and rolling right over top of anything in the way. And you got to understand that we serve a great God. Do not fear. Do not weaken. Do not back off. Do everything you can. This is my forum. And Jackie's telling me that more and more and more people, in one way, it's kind of scary. We need to pray for one another. You need to pray for me. Finally, some people are beginning, men of God are beginning to speak up, but very few. I'm not talking about little churches. There's a lot of guys like me out there blowing the trumpet where they can, but I'm talking about the ones that have national prominence. Where are you? So as we move through, I love Tommy's message. Faith, not fear. As we're believing God and as we're moving through and we're seeing these things beginning to happen, don't let it overwhelm you. You're going to have those times. I have. Chris and I have talked about it over and over again. I can pull my head out of the bucket, man. And realize that the Lord is my... If we ever just become all about politics and laws and the November vote, we have lost our way. Jesus is still the answer. He is still big in us. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you here today? And it's not the time for you to weaken. It's the time to find your voice. Let faith find her voice. Paul said, quoting David of old, "We believe, therefore we speak." And every time you speak the word of God in unison, you speak in unison with God, and it is the perfect prophetic word. We hear a lot about the prophetic, and I'm sorry, but 90% of it is pathetic, not prophetic. Now there's a 10% I'm listening to, and I've watched people with good ministries who I believe are real prophets of God sent to the body, but most of this stuff is nonsense. And we heap to ourselves our heroes, and we put them up on benches and pedestals and make them targets while we sit back and let them. I want to tell you today, you let the faith of God in you find its voice and begin to speak the word of God over our nation, over our president, over our leaders, over this place. Do not weaken. This is not the time to do that at all. There is so much going on behind the scenes you cannot even imagine. And I don't care what anybody thinks anymore or who it offends. Trump is God's man for this time. And if you can't see that and you're a believer, you need to wake up. And those of you that do, we need to continue to pray. My aunt, who is the daughter of a great missionary, John Hall, he was in Cuba for 12 years during the Batista, for lack of a better word, administration of Cuba. Did a tremendous work with the Cuban people there. It's his life and his example, heroes like Brother Hall, that had an influence on a young man, super shy. He would tell you this himself, super shy, a bedwetter, terrible trouble with halitosis. Did I say the right word? Bad breath. Grew up in a home that there were a lot of struggles, and that's for him to share, not me. But he had a mama who got a hold of Jesus and drove them many miles over bad, bad country roads to make sure they were in a little Nazarene church. My dad was an introvert, Tom Shaw. He finished high school in Nashville, Tennessee, Trevecca Nazarene College. His dad told him when he left in a beat-up old 56 Chevy, "I don't like what you're doing. I don't agree with it. Don't ever come back." Dad drove that old car backfiring from Western PA all the way to Nashville, Tennessee. Finished high school, met my mama. They were there for 2 years, and while he was there, they struck up acquaintance with another young student, a John Hall Jr. And my dad's passion and heart for missions was so strong, he didn't even know what it was. And I don't remember the exact reference of the story. I believe it was in his dormitory, in his room. But while praying or meditating along those lines, he heard the name Guatemala. Knew it was a country, had no idea where it was at. Went and, he'll tell you this story, went and looked for it. That country became part of my and Caleb, my brother sitting here, with his wife Fatima Honduras. A whole huge story that we need to hear again. Her daddy, great evangelist. Now with Jesus. Caleb's own ministry, many of you don't even realize. He hates it when I do this, but for 15 years rocked all of Central and South America and beyond with a group called Discreto. All of this the result of a introvert, bad breath, bedwetter out of a broken family who a Nazarene preacher pointed at him and said, "Tommy, there's a call on your life," and believed in him. And the result of that is Bible school, meeting my mother, a friend by the name of John Hall, who was the son of this great missionary. And in that process, this is how I wound up being born in a place that I never saw until I was 25, and when I did, I was not impressed. I was born in West Palm Beach, Florida. Still don't like it. First time I saw it, I was shocked. "Why can't I be from Arizona, Sally?" It's been in my heart since I was at... Yes. So, reborn. At any rate, the result of that relationship was that my dad, with his desire and heart for the mission field, got close to this young man and to this older missionary that at that time was newly out of Cuba, in the West Palm Beach area, working with the Cuban refugees that came out like a flood before the doors were slammed shut. And my dad ended up moving there to learn Spanish, to be involved. It was so heavy on him to be involved in Spanish ministry. That's why I was born there. And so this great man of God had such an influence on us. He influenced my dad to the degree, and you heard me share this once before, but I'll share it for those of you that were not here, that when, as a missionary in Guatemala, at a time that we'd been there about 4 years, I graduated from high school there, when I left to go to Bible school where I met my wife, my dad had a literal vision, and I won't get into all that, but ended up moving to Honduras, and still today is recognized as the father of the Honduran revival. And that's not exaggeration at all. In fact, I'm telling you the minimal. When he went there, and I know most of you have heard this, but I just want to repeat it one more time. When he went there, everybody was preparing for defeat. It looked hopeless. Nicaragua, 1976, good friends of mine, Ben and Nelda Hand, literally fled under gunfire. Missionaries from Alabama, Spirit-filled Baptists, we struck up a friendship. They were instrumental in my dad, along with Jim Zirkle, coming into the baptism of the Holy Spirit and completely turning our lives around on the mission field. Ben Hand literally fled under gunfire from Nicaragua. Guatemala, at the time that we were there, this is from 1977, 8, 9, 80, 81, 82, 83, you following me? Those years, you can go to your library, go online now. These are known and listed by National Geographic magazine as the bloodiest years of Central America. I myself, my brother, he can tell you some stories of his own that will raise the hair on your neck. We've seen the bodies, we've seen the blood, we've seen the devastation. I've been in Santa Ana, Costa Rica, right after a guerrilla battle and didn't even know it, bullet holes all through the walls and down the sides and in the streets and everybody gone. As a young man, and my dad, the look in his face and praying in tongues and flipping a U, and out of there we went. We lived this stuff in Guatemala. More than once, you've heard me say, I've gone to bed to the sound of machine gun fire and mortar fire just over the canyon. And yet we knew in the simplicity of this new spirit-filled experience called the baptism in the Holy Ghost and this new understanding of the authority of Jesus, I remember how that my, you know, Dad will tell you, there were times, he said, when I was tempted, he said, fear would try to creep up on me and just choke me. He said, but because of this newfound understanding of who I am in Christ and who he is in me, he said, I trusted him. And I'll tell you what, I could tell you, I tell stories all day long, but I want to get to a point here. Because of all that, by the time the Lord led him to Honduras, Honduras was already planning on going the way that Nicaragua had gone. El Salvador was most of the way there. And for them, Honduras was an easy deal. It was a done deal. All of the insurrectionists were already in their places. Everything was set. It was the easy one to pull the bottom brick out of. And when he got there, my dad went to one of the first. They began to preach in the streets and preach in little villages, and God began to do miracles, and it began to gather a lot of attention. Tree of Life Ministries. He was invited to the Ministerial Association and went and sat with a number of pastors, many of them. And the dialogue was, we need to prepare ourselves to go underground. It's lost. We need to take the example of those in Cuba and in Nicaragua and understand that we're going to be forced underground, and we need to know how to function as an underground church. My dad stood up in the middle of that and said, no! One voice. He was mocked. One voice. I'm not exaggerating. One voice said, God did not send me here to minister underground. No. And there were a few pastors, because of his bold stance, who joined with him. Most did not. He said, we need to stand and believe God. God did not send me here for failure. He sent me here to do a work, and he's given me a vision, and we're not going that way. A literal voice crying in the wilderness. A voice of faith. He spoke beyond himself. He'll tell you that. Go home and say, oh my God. What am I doing? I felt like that a few times. Pray for me. Easy to criticize me. Pray for me. Pray for one another. It amazes me that in this kind of a climate, we got still got people that will come to church and wait for that one little thing they can say, and just keep jumping around. Flakes didn't get us here. Flakes won't keep us here. Find your place. Find your roots. Find your voice. Release your Jesus on the inside of you. Get hooked up. Get committed to something. Your country, you're a patriot, act like one. You're a Christian, be one. You're a member of the family, show me that you are. We okay with that? One voice. He began to stand, and out of the blue, miraculous, crazy, I believe it's what's getting ready to happen right here. If we'll hold toe and believe God and stand, everything was set. The lockdown was done. The defeat was secured. Honduras would be communist. You think I'm talking extreme right now? Black Lives Matter is a communist organization backed by communist funds, and their goal is to destroy America, period. Antifa is communist. They hate America. If you don't know that, you need to wake up. They hate America, they hate our God, they hate our system, and they're doing everything they can to tear it down. The devil is evil. He is powerful, but he's not so smart. And Paul said, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. They're radical left-wing terrorists. Antifa is mostly white. Almost all white communists. Don't confuse these things. Educate yourself. I can't do it all from up here one day or even on a Sunday night. You got to dig. Are you aware that one of the founders of Black Lives Matter is welcomed with open arms to Prescott College 2018, hiding out right here in Prescott, Arizona? We better stinking wake up, blow the trumpet. I'd love to get a poster with her face as big as I can find it. And I'm talking right into video. God help me, you pray for me. But I'm telling you what, people need to know what we got right here. Who would have thought? My dad stood. And one of the kingpins of the subversion in Honduras made a girlfriend mad. Maxwell, ring a bell at all? Different story, different case. Made a girlfriend mad. She blew the whole thing from the inside out. And what was impossible, God has a way, if we'll stand, of confusing. I wished I had time to talk about the lepers who sat in a stupor with all the spoils of war. It's not right that we sit here and enjoy this. We got to tell somebody the result of confusion in the enemy's camp. But those kind of results don't come from the weak They come from those who know who they are, why they're here, who their God is, who He is on the inside of them, how faith works. How does faith work? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know how? He said with His mouth. He's God. He didn't have to do it that way. But He chose. For He knew right down to the day that the Apostle Paul would say, "We believe, therefore we speak." Faith, which is our victory. Romans chapter 10, if we confess with our mouth and believe with the heart, that He is God, in this, that He was raised from the dead, we will be saved. And then He sought to teach us that everything we receive by faith through grace. For a lot of years, we were confused about grace, but we're not anymore. Shouldn't be. I'm here glad today for the abundance of grace. He is so merciful and good. When I'm hitting the guardrails all over the place trying to get it right, or when I'm mad and trying to get it wrong, He's still. Come on, how about it, Tom? Woo, aren't you glad for Jesus today? So Dad stood alone at first. Tommy, a lot of this is influenced by your video. You weren't in here. Faith, not fear. I love it. My dad had a reason for why he went that route that was more than just a newfound love in Jesus, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and understanding of who we are. But he also had an example before him. Brother Hall. Brother Hall, now rolling back the years, do you remember? His son, how they came to meet, how Dad became aware of Brother Hall. 12 years in Cuba. A military regime, in large part, but with all the, as you know, those who know history, close ties with America, great prosperity. All of us have seen the parade with Marilyn Monroe on one of those 50-something automobiles. I've been in there. I've smuggled Bibles in there, whole curriculums. About got my chops busted twice. Not bragging, I'm just reporting. I know what it's like to spend 2 days pretending I'm a tourist in a communist country. I know how to step around a corner, step back, and identify my tail that was planted on me from the time of the airport. How to wait a couple of days, figure out who he is, identify him, then know the pattern, ditch him, make a phone call, meet a taxi, and I'm inside. Me. A number of times. My dad looked up to Brother Hall and should. He's a great hero. Brother Hall spent 12 years doing missions in Cuba, largely in the Havana area and other areas, different places, and there's a lot of stories that I've forgotten. But one thing that I want to drive home to you today is that he, as devout and as much as he loved the Lord and that great man of God, he became so aware of all of the injustices. Listen to me very, very close. All of the injustices that were taking place under Batista. Unwittingly began to support a young man who began to stand up, a gifted speaker, a very imposing figure that could stand and call to the masses and begin to call the people of Cuba to resist this unjust regime. Begin to call them and appeal to them and tell them it's not right that the rich have all the wealth and that we have this, and begin to name a lot of things that were very true, but skew them to a very demonic, insidious direction. He did it so well that that man, and from what I remember, what my dad told me in reference to their conversations was most missionaries and evangelicals climbed on board with Castro, promoting his cause, believing that he was there to free the people. Crafty. How easily we forget. They toppled monuments. They rewrote history. They appealed to justice. But I want to remind you of something that Todd White said, and I said last week. The Bible does not preach justice alone. Our God is just and merciful. And justice without mercy is satanic. They supported his efforts. And then all hell broke loose in 1958. And they laid under carpets in their home for 3 days under gunfire, eating cheese and crackers and water till somehow they could get out. Everything was turned. People, forgive my vernacular, but we have 4 stinking months. And we need to let our friends and neighbors know. I don't want to be laying under carpets eating crackers saying, I wished I would have listened. I have a compunction to stand up here and do what I'm doing. You say, we need to preach the gospel. I got people that aren't here that I love that have told me, stick to Jesus. Get off the politics. You're missing the point. Let's don't wait till it's too late. Let's don't let off the gas. Let's stand and believe God. Don't get down in fear. Don't get bogged down. Find your voice. Speak faith. Believe God. Pray for one another. Pray for each other. You want to do something about it? That's what we're going to do tonight. Again, come up with a plan. Who would have ever thought right here in Prescott? Just went over to a big, huge, organized deal. Why doesn't everybody know that? They will. You love Jesus today? People, we got to realize what's going on. I'm going to catch my breath, back my passion down just a couple of notches. We'll get back to all this, but I want you to roll Brother Womack's video. Get ready in just a moment. You can go ahead and pull that up. Sally Bates, along with some others, Jackie read this to me off her Facebook. Hope I can find it. I just had it. Machines. Dear partners and friends, I've already sent out one Independence Day greeting in celebration of this glorious day that has literally changed the destiny of the world. Independence Day. But this Independence Day has extra meaning for me. We were served a cease and desist warning by our state attorney general on July 2nd. This was right in the middle of our summer family Bible conference, which went from June 29th to July 3rd. We had been in contact with our city and county officials and complied with everything they asked, except the requirement to limit our attendance to 175. We had around 1,000 present, including children. In the light of the fact that protests with thousands had been permitted and even encouraged, and that's putting it lightly, and retail stores were allowed unlimited numbers in their stores without near the safety measures we employed, I felt completely justified in doing what I was doing. But the bottom line is that we have the constitutional right to freely exercise our faith and to peaceably assemble together. It's easy here in Arizona to forget what the rest of the nation is going through. Don't go to sleep. We voluntarily complied for 3 months with all the instructions of our state government in an effort to do our part in fighting this plague, but I totally disagreed with the evaluation of our officials that the church and the religious meetings were not essential. I sent a letter to the Colorado state governor toward the end of May that our voluntary compliance with the restrictive laws that were being applied in a discriminatory way against religious organizations was over on Pentecost Sunday. The Truth and Liberty Coalition Conference was held at Karis Bible College on June 5th. This was one of the things, Chris, tonight, Chad, tonight that I really want to present forward. I don't know how many of you are aware of what Brother Womack put together, but this Truth and Liberty Coalition is amazing. The work that they've done, we need to tag it to our site. It's powerful. Look it up. Write it down. Truth and Liberty Coalition. Conference was held at Karis Bible College on June 5th and 6th with about 500 attendants. There were no problems, and the city and county cooperated with us in taking steps to ensure everyone's safety. But at our summer family Bible conference on July 1st, I led a panel with William Federer, General Jerry Boykin, Tony Perkins, E.W. Jackson, Janet Boynes, which must have made the devil mad. We discussed all the current issues of the day in the light of what the Bible teaches and made a strong appeal for Christians to get out and vote according to godly principles. Truth and Liberty Coalition will be airing this on the Gospel Truth television program just before the elections. The next morning, we received this cease and desist order. I have respectfully refused to comply with the artificial limit on the number of people who can attend. We are firmly in the crosshairs of our liberal state government. Liberty Council has agreed to represent us, and we are fighting back. I believe it is not only our constitutional right. Are you in the house today, people? I'm tired of this. Just preach Jesus, get off politics. That's why we're where we're at. I suckered for that. It's not about politics, people. It's about truth. And the devil has used this don't preach politics nonsense to tamper down, to buffer truth. It's not about, when I can stand in here and say, you need to think about who you're voting for. You need to know what their platform is. And if they're into killing babies, 900 black babies a day, Black Lives Matter? The three women, radical communist, all pro-abortion, and way worse than I want to mention in here, talking about Black Lives Matter. Let me tell you what, the lives of precious black people matter along with the rest of the whosoevers. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. But Black Lives Matter? No way. And I can say that in here. They're gone now. But make Bible believe. Well, let me back up. Jesus loving. Apparently they're not Bible loving because the Bible's clear about this. Make people mad and say, if you vote for somebody, it amazes me the people that are in church nowadays that will defend abortion. Well, in some cases. No, and never, ever. It's murder, period. If you've been through that, I want you to know God loves you and He forgives to the uttermost and He restores, and nobody should ever point a finger of condemnation at you because you fell prey to what are new norms. And God can forgive you and cleanse you and help you. I got people, I know people in ministry today that went through multiple abortions because they were part of a radical group and they didn't know any better. We don't hate those people. We love those people. God loves them more than we could ever imagine. That's not our point. But murder is still murder. And those women will tell you the same thing. I know people that barely escaped being aborted. One of them was James Robinson, who has changed the world with the gospel. His mom on the way to an abortion clinic, and the whole thing interrupted, and a great man. And I've had people sit and argue with me, but what about instances of rape? That's not up to you and me. It doesn't matter who the dad was, who the mom was, or how it happened. That precious little thing, the minute that seed joins and those miracles begin to happen, I'm told over 1 million points have to come together at the exact perfect time. 1 million points! No wonder David said we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Have to come together just for a baby to have sight. That's not a fetus or a blob of flesh. From the minute that little thing begins to draw oxygen and that little heart and that little old teeny thing, God doesn't care how it came to be. He calls it valued and precious and breathes the pneuma, life of God, into that thing. How dare we as the church make excuses? My God, wake up. That's not politics, that's truth. Let it divide. We'll shut the doors and go back to Bible studies if we have to. That's insanity. And why I haven't been strong on that, God forgive me. I'm not angry at anybody in here, I promise. I love you. Good people that love Jesus and call this crazy and radical, you better hope to God that what they're planning in November doesn't happen, because you're going to see stinking radical. And you're going to remember these words and wish to God you'd have been a part of the resistance. A Holy Ghost, not a flesh hate resistance. A Holy Ghost empowered by truth and authority. A willingness to live and die if necessary for a cause greater than ourselves. And that's political? No, it's not. And if it is, I don't give a rip. Can't fire me. I came here by myself. God told me to do this, and here we are. Said, okay, Lord, I don't want to do this. I got from underneath this pastor thing, and I do not want to do it again. And the minute we put a couple feet in the right direction, God spoke to a few people, like a couple in the back row, that said, "Here, we believe in you." Bam! And we had no excuse. We had everything we needed and more. I will never forget. I know you do. Maybe for such a time as this. Maybe that's why we went through such a tough time over the last couple of years. I don't know. Does it matter now? Probably not. The next morning we received this cease and desist order. I have respectfully refused to comply with the artificial limit on the number of people who can attend. I want you to know something right now. You hear this coming out in this fashion, this wasn't even on my mind. Let him who has ears to hear, hear. This is not me. Listen. I leave this place of gift and anointing, just like you have gifts and anointing. I'm not elevating myself at all. Oh, no. But I leave this place of gift and anointing. And I got to walk by faith and live this out just like you. So don't get any ideas of, wow, that's so anointed. He must just... We need one another. We have... our In God We Trust musical schedule to be formed at 6 p.m. This is yesterday. This evening, and we aren't sure what is going to happen. Let me back up. The next morning we received this cease and desist order. I have respectfully refused to comply with the artificial limit on the number of people who can attend. I haven't verified that the picture's true. It looks true. The article looks true. Joel Osteen, with a mask on, marching with Black Lives Matter. Joel, I knew your daddy. I know your mama. Wake up. Quit being a simpleton and a fool. That's ridiculous. You're a great man of God. Stop it. Really? Seriously? I love Brother Womack. He's not perfect. He'd be the first one to tell you. He's a knucklehead just like me. Or maybe me like him. He said, "We are firmly in the crosshairs of our liberal state government. Liberty Council has agreed to represent us, and we're fighting back. I believe it is not only our constitutional right, but our duty to stop. I believe it is not only..." Did you hear that this morning for you? "I believe it is not only our constitutional right, but our duty to stop this extreme overreach of government that allows people to riot and pillage, but not assemble to worship the Lord. We have our In God We Trust musical scheduled before at 6 o'clock Mountain Time this evening. We aren't sure what is going to happen. This musical is one of the most patriotic things you will ever witness. It would be beyond ironic if we were shut down as we're praising God for the freedoms in this nation and proclaiming liberty for all. This event will be live streamed at awmi.net. Did anybody see it? I didn't either. We're with family. And whatever happens, we broadcast for the world to see. We will start at 5:30 p.m. Mountain Time with Teller County Sheriff's Department Color Guard posting the colors. I suspect that will be safe. Then we will share our musical depiction of our great and many patriotic songs that will stir your heart. Please join us for this live stream," he says. This is yesterday. And please be in prayer for us. I'm convinced I'm doing what the Lord would have me do, but I don't relish the battle we find ourselves in. Jamie and I, along with all of my staff members, are having to deal with this. Really need God's wisdom and guidance to navigate these waters we have never sailed through before. There are hidden mines everywhere, but we will make it to the other side. Thanks for standing with us. Stand to your feet. We're going to pray for Brother Womack, and in doing so, we're going to pray for ministries all over the country. Would you join with me in agreement, extending your hands this way, would you please? Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Andrew Womack and that great ministry, and men of God like him all over this nation, that you bless, protect, strengthen, encourage. He's asked for wisdom. We, in Jesus' name, come into agreement with his prayer and with his heart. Father, in Jesus' name, your protection and wisdom over that man and that great ministry that has reached around the world like no other. Father God, today, in Jesus' name, this great preacher of grace, Father God, that you would strengthen him. Father, we needed someone to stand, and here he is. Franklin Jensen. I don't know what took so long, but God bless Franklin. He's speaking out. He's got everything to lose and not a lot to gain, but he's a part of the kingdom, and he's speaking out. Father, protect that man. Embolden others to stand up in the grace and strength of God in Jesus' name. And while we're at it, for President Trump, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, grip his heart, grip his mind. Let it be more than trying to right the wrongs of his past through a guilt-ridden understanding of what he was and what's at stake. Let him come into the love of God through the person of Jesus Christ. Protect, regardless of what happens in November, if he loses it and this all goes to hell, Father God, let the love of God permeate his life and his family and his children and all of those around him. Come on. Come on. Come on. Pray. Pray. As your worship, continue to pray and worship. You can worship and pray while you listen. Come on, pray. Father God, we strength. We add our strength, our prayer today.
Lord began to speak to me this morning. These are no longer matters of right or wrong, good or bad. These have become matters of life and death. Life and death. He said it again, life or death. And I began to see such a huge vision, and it just broke my heart. It's like a dungeon of darkness on that side where they are rioting and killing and murdering babies and doing horrible things. It's a ministry of death. We have to choose this day who we will serve. It's life or death. It's not good or bad. It's not Republicans or Democrats. It's life or death. Life or death.
Yeah. There's the urgency. How can we ignore it? I won't. Can't. That is it. That's the bottom line. Father, I thank you that when we pray like this, we don't pray from fear. We're letting faith find her voice. Why do you got to be so loud, Pastor Lee? Who are you yelling at? I tell you what's loud. Laying under carpets while the house shakes. How about let's not go there? The God of heaven, the I am that I am, the everlasting, King of kings and Lord of lords, stands and says, your Bible, Jesus, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you loose on earth. Aren't those cute little words to help us get through another day? No, they are not. Those are supernatural, eternity past, the God of heaven manifest in the flesh, speaking to us. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them, of my Father. If that's radical to you, you need to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And I'm not kidding. This is not radical. They talk about new norms? No, this is the norm for the born-again believer. When we stand in here and pray the anointing of God in here that is here now, and as people begin to intercede, that shouldn't just happen here. Thank God it is. Kickstart our little motor and get us rolling. But where two or three are gathered, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Not talking about out there somewhere. He's talking about the unseen. Don't worry about it. The unseen. You take care of this, and I'll take care of that. Daniel prayed. He had no idea that what he was calling on, involved in politics, by the way, and influencing government leaders in righteousness without compromise, called on heaven, and God said, I hear that prayer, and sent an angel. He was withstood for a time by a powerful demonic entity referred to as the Prince of Persia. But Daniel prayed with confidence. It might have been held up, but the answer was on its way, and it would make it. Be not weary, I tell you today, in Jesus' name, in well-doing, for in due time. Come on, we got to know. Amen. And having done all to stand in the evil day. I'm glad for Jesus today. Whew. Let's finish up our prayer. Boy, that was an awesome, it's still going. Thank you, Father. So with great confidence, with great confidence, we do our part here, knowing that you will take care of your part in the unseen. So we bind wickedness and death. We speak confusion into the camp of the enemy. Protection over every one of us and our babies and our moms and dads in Jesus' name. A shield of favor that surrounds us. In Jesus' name, we loose the peace of God. We loose the wisdom of God. We loose the truth of God. The freedom of God. In Jesus' name, And if you believe that, I don't want to hear some wimpy amen. Come on. You may be seated for just a couple more moments. My term for couple is probably not the same as yours. I haven't forgotten. Are you listening to the voice of fear or the voice of faith? If you don't know that COVID is a scam, you probably ought to be here tonight. Is it a real virus? Yes. But every time I hear about all these cases, when you dig, you find out they died of other things that they were going to die from anyway. And there's all kinds of, I know firsthand now, firsthand. But when you're afraid, you keep repeating, and when it gets in close, we keep repeating the, stop it, stop, we'll show you, it's not true. An absolute lie. Center for Disease Control's own website admits in black and white that the test being used is not COVID-19 specific, but it identifies COVID, among which, in those same COVID viruses, is the common cold. And while they're telling you about the sharp increase, as they sharply increase faulty testing and lie, 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 they won't talk to you about a non-existent now death rate, except for where they've lied about comorbidities. If you don't know what a comorbidity is, get out your dictionary. I'm not going to explain it. You ought to explain it. You ought to know by now. That's a side point, and I don't even know why I went there. But we got to realize what we're doing. Whether it was intended that way, I believe it was, or not. They certainly are using that way. It dovetailed perfectly. I think they had a plan all set up, and they got jumped a little early. And they're just flying with this as fast as they can to capitalize for November. You pray for our president. You stay awake. You think of how fast March came from then to here. And think of how stinking fast we are going to be from here to there, and all that is at stake. Be sober and vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That's the word of God for you today. In the meantime, stay out of fear. Remember your heritage, not as an American, but as a child of God. For you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You got it. Called to show forth. Now you got to be careful. A little bit of political correctness would be in order. Now, to show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His glorious light. Remember who you are. Come on, guys, in Prescott, open your churches up. Have some guts. September, are you kidding me? We need you. We need you to find your spiritual guts and stand with us. Where are you at? Thank you for men of God that have. But we need everybody. You ascribe to the name of Jesus. Quit running like a chicken. It's the wicked that flee when no man pursues. Proverbs 28:1, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. His protection. My boy Luke, I'll get to see him. I just found out this morning he's going to come see Dad in a couple weeks. Married to a beautiful young gal, Fireball. Both of them attending Liberty. She was telling the story of just recently. There was some kind of a special event that was taking place at the college. And this was not too long before she and Luke married together, I think with her sister and another girl. I don't remember all those details perfectly, but they decided to go at night over into Lynchburg, into an area that's a little bit sketchy, into a Walmart to make some purchases, did so in the wee hours of the morning, work, schedule, justified it. And I think it was her sister had hurt her foot and had a cast or a wrap of some kind, was not able to walk well. Anyway, they chose to, and she said, the whole time I knew that what we were doing was not good. Like I was alerted. But we went anyway because of the pressure of the obligation and desire. They get to Walmart, nobody's there except two guys who zero in on them, the only ones in the store. This is either 11 o'clock at night or 1 in the morning, irrelevant, nobody else is there. So the one dude in following just grabs a bag of kitty litter. So now they know they're in trouble, trying to check out at the same time. Long story short, by the time they check out, they're whispering to one another, they know they're being zeroed in on. The minute they get out to the parking lot, the guys come out on both sides and a car pulls in across. They run to their car, jump inside just in time, slam the doors and lock them, and the car beelines right at them and pulls right up with the lights on high and people coming from this side. And here's these three girls sitting in the car. They begin to pray in the name of Jesus and in other tongues. Jagan said, I'll never forget it as long. This is recent. This is your God in you. For now. For right now. Not for now. For right now. You gotta watch what you say. So Jagan said, we're sitting there and a great big guy steps out of the vehicle and begins to walk towards him. Another guy steps out of the other side, and they're walking straight towards the vehicle just like this. Rough. She said, as they sat in the car praying, do you remember Luke telling about this? As they sat in the car worshiping God and praying in the name of Jesus, he said, just like this, she said, I'll never forget it as long as I live. She said, we saw nothing. We looked back. We were shocked. He's walking just like this, John, and he goes, are you aware? Yes. Yeah. If you're not, I'm making you aware. We have a power in us that can be drawn. If you don't know, people, good people, perish for a lack of knowledge. But we don't have to. We can know that He is our protector. You ever heard this before? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91, Mary. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield. Thou shalt not be afraid. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence. Wuhan, China, 19, yada, 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 the pestilence that walks in darkness. This one walks in darkness. It's full of deception. Nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh thee. I'm announcing to you something that if you will take advantage, it's God's truth and it's true. John G. Lake, they put, was it the bubonic plague? Put it on his hand and watched it die on his hands. Andrew Womack is being mocked by the press in Colorado Springs. He said, we are doing what we can to not be, in so many words, he didn't use these words, to not be rebellious and comply as a good witness where we need to, up to a point. But I'm not afraid of any virus. And when it comes down to the Word of God versus what they say, we're not backing up. He said, if it touches me, it's going to die. Let faith find her voice. Stop speaking fear and speak the truth and watch what God will do. One of my heroes, and I don't mean that lightly, Louis. But it shall not come nigh thee, only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil be. Isn't that cute? Get you through one more, get you through one more day. That's a soldier's manual. That's not for spiritual wimps and flakes. That's a soldier's manual. And he's giving you a promise. How about reaching out with me right now and taking it? Say with me, my immune system's stronger than it's ever been. With or without D3. We can get so into all that stuff that we forget our wholeness comes from the Word of God, not from a bottle. Take care of yourself. Back off the whoppers. I had a Whopper the other day. Oh, my Lord. It was good to the last stinking bite. I just hope they don't do the normal Chino thing and start doing this. Let's call it up. Let's call up. Can we call up Burger King? Can we speak all this over? Totally lost you. There shall no evil befall thee, Marcia. You're a faith gal. You've seen the angels of God. Stand. Don't be overwhelmed. You stand alone a lot. Would you, Sherry, would you go put your hands on her? Father, in Jesus' name, for precious Martha, Marcia, my mind's blown right now. It's okay. I thank you for this precious little gal that stood and worked and served so often without any recognition or thanks and led the way in every way. That house she owns, the car, the way you've blessed her with her job, but so often alone, Father God, today in Jesus' name, we join our strength for her and for precious Vic, for Eric. For all of their kids and grandchildren, but today for Marcia specifically, Father God, we call the strength of God. Marcia, look at me. Be strengthened with might. Receive right now the spirit of might. When my heart is overwhelmed, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. So today, strength. And man, if you're in here and you feel like that today, just let that. I mean, God does what he does for one, he does for everybody. But she needs to hear this today. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. For strength, grace, and peace on my sister. In Jesus' name. Just stay there with her while I finish. And just minister grace to her. Would you do that as we finish reading this? There's a fitting one for that, Marcia. The next verse, for he shall give his angels charge over thee. Remember us talking about the angels? Yeah. To keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. And you know what? That's an Old Testament prayer. When Jesus died, was buried, and resurrected, he reversed the order. He has now set his love on me and you. So because he has, there's nothing, there's no me involved in the equation anymore except receiving. He now has set his love on me. Because of that, we'll call upon him and he'll answer. He'll be with us in trouble. He'll deliver us and honor us. He knows. He's watching. You watch. And with long life, I think he's doing a pretty good job already. I'm not supposed to do this with women ever. We're in public. Look at her. How old are you, Marcia? 67 years of age, with long life, with long life. Lift up your hands all over the room this day, with long life, with long life. Well, long's because you're healthy. You're right, healthy life. I ought to make you stand up, and I know you hate that. You're an example. I'm drinking a Conley. I won't do it to you. Shh, this little gal would blow your mind. You'd never know. Long life. And show him my salvation. Hallelujah, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Oh, how rich. How pure. How free. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. My God. In him will I trust. Let the spirit of intercession that is in this room today, don't leave here with this. We got to keep Go enjoy your family. Play music. Live. But ever aware of who is in you. And an atmosphere of prayer. Every time you're alone, speaking grace over our leaders, speaking grace over our present, over one another. Let faith find and keep her voice. In Jesus' name. I didn't get there today, and I don't care if I ever get there, but my goal is to talk to you about why it's important. Can I read an article to you? We'll watch the video and be dismissed. What time is it? Is that right? All right, I won't. Thank you, Tom. Gary DeMar. Several posts on Facebook are asking this question. Should pastors address politics from the pulpit? I don't understand why this question keeps getting asked. If the Bible addresses politics or anything else, then pastors must address politics and anything else the Bible addresses. It's that simple. I became a Christian in 1973. That's 47 years ago. What do 47 years of preaching and teaching look like? Let's say you attend church 50 times each year. That's 2,250 messages. These numbers don't count Wednesday evening, Sunday school Bible studies, your own personal study. That's a lot of Bible. Are we to believe that in all the times the Bible has been preached or taught that the subject of politics should never come up? How does a minister preach and teach for 45 years and not touch on the politics found, for example, in Exodus? Judges 1, 2 Samuel, 2 Kings, the prophets, the politics of the New Testament. I saw this from an August 2019 article, he says. The writer states, I don't speak on political issues in my church. I don't support candidates. I don't address legislation. I never take a side on controversial news items when I'm behind the pulpit. We may not preach on political issues, but that doesn't mean we're sticking our heads in the sand. There are other options. There's a court case that could have large-scale consequences for Christian schools and churches. The following is from the Huffington Post. Stillwater Christian School, I don't know if I left you in the dark. The end of his statement was, I never take a side on controversial news items when I'm behind the pulpit. Rebuttal from Gary is, we may not preach on political issues, but that doesn't mean we're sticking our heads in the sand. There are other options. Rebuttal, there's a court case that could have large-scale consequences for Christian schools and churches. The following is from the Huffington Post. Stillwater Christian School in Kalispell, Montana says in its handbook that God wonderfully and immutably creates each person as a male or female. And God created marriage to be exclusively the union of one man and one woman. And it also says that students and campus visitors must use restrooms, locker rooms, and changing facilities conforming to their biological sex. Because of these beliefs, governments are weighing whether they should be discriminated against on school choice legislation. The schools would be denied taxpayer money because of these beliefs. It's okay for a state to force family to pay taxes to fund government schools, but it's supposedly unconstitutional for some of that money to be returned to these same families to educate their children. School choice is a debatable issue, but I want you to take note how the opposition is framing the debate. That's what's going on every front right now. If you oppose homosexuality, the government will declare you unfit to educate. If a church preaches these biblical truths from the pulpit, will the government declare them enemies of the state? I have a sobering thought for you. Every one of you, as you stand, this goes the wrong way in November, You better be prepared. You better be set, because they know who you are and they're coming for us. And you think I'm being alarmist? I'm not. You better wake up. They know exactly what's going on and who's in it. So this isn't about the luxury of praying for a good outcome in November. This is the attacks are comprehensive. One Abeka. How many are familiar with Abeka? I took Abeka for a short while when I was a kid in Guatemala. We lived in the middle of nowhere, and anyway, that's a long story. One Abeka history textbook previously analyzed by HuffPost, for example, says that Satan hatched the ideas of evolution, socialism. This is a Christian, very good Christian education program. And in their history textbook, says the ideas of evolution, socialism, Marxist socialism, communism, progressive education, modern psychology, and you better believe it. My daughter had a job, did very well, two different places where she did medical, help me guys, transcribing. To get a bump and raise in a little different position, she had to go take classes at the college. She brought the books to me in shock. They had very little to do with medical transcribing. It was all indoctrination for a socialist system. All of it. It would shock the... I took pictures to save them on my older computer. I hope I can find them, because I couldn't believe what was being shoved down her throat to be a medical transcriber. You know what I'm ashamed of, and maybe you ought to be too? Thank God for the grace of Jesus, and there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Him. Thank God I don't have to walk under the load of condemnation. But there is a place, I think momentarily, for to recognize and be ashamed of the fact that why did it take this to wake me up? Why was I not I thought I was, Tom. If we'd have been listening, I'm digging up articles now from 2012, 2008, and I'm reading the article and I'm going, man, this is good. And then I look and the date, it's from 2008. The world knew while the church had their head in the sand, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Taketh out of here on our great big spaceship. And let the world take over. Politics, law, education, the arts. Every front. Abandon them for bad theology. Well, it's never too late for our God. I'm glad He is expert at last minute. And just like Jillian going to Walmart when she shouldn't have. Yea, though I walk away from where He was leading, green pastures beside still waters and paths of righteousness, I walked away, found myself in the valley of the shadow of death, staring through a windshield with God knows what coming at my vehicle. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Louis, I will fear no evil, for even in my own mistake, when I realized that You were still there with me, You comfort me and strengthen me with the staff of Your word. And You prepare a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. And let me tell you, when God prepares a table, can you say holy schmoly in church? I don't know. Okay. A Bob Jones University history textbook calls science a false religion and portrays Islam as a violent religion, including a section entitled Islam and Murder. Both companies' textbooks dismiss evolution in favor of creationism. Consider what Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren wants to do about government education. Quote, I'm going to have a Secretary of Education that is a young trans person who interviews on my behalf. And only if this person believes that our secretary or secretary of education nominee is absolutely committed to creating a welcoming environment, a safe environment, and a full educational curriculum for everyone, will that person actually be advanced to secretary of education. Kind of convoluted to quote. But the pulpit is not the place to address these issues. He says, not me, give me a break. Preachers and teachers are not to shrink from declaring the whole purpose of God. If a topic is in the Bible, then the pastors are obligated to preach about it. What is the relation of clergy and politics? Should men in the pulpit speak out on social and political questions? And if so, under what circumstances? Answer, the clergy cannot faithfully expound the Word of God without dealing with virtually every social and political question. The Bible speaks not only about salvation, but God's law with respect to the state, money, land, natural resources, just weights and measures, criminal law, and a variety of other subjects. And by the way, while I'm on it, global warming has been around for a long time, and most of the Christian church embraces it, and they do not understand it is one of the biggest vehicles to brainwash our children from the youngest ages to elevate man to supremacy over God and to put in them a spirit of fear about their future. It's a lie. When I was in grade school in Southern California, we lived there from 69 to 75. I'll never forget the fear-mongering about we were going to all freeze to death. It's time for us to wake up. I'm 57. I'm young. How many remember that? It's not that long ago. I'll spare you the rest of this. It's time to get out of here. We'll finish this off next week. He goes into some more detail about why it is important that we speak up. Maybe I shouldn't. Let me just look at the next. Tom gave me permission. Blame him. Attack him. You know what? Next week, play the video. 4th of July, Independence Day. You've been blessed today? I have been. It's helped me to get this stuff out and express the urgency of the time that we live in. Now, if all you do is sit there and get a chill bump and say, amen, keep it up. No, I need you to blow the trumpet. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm on God's holy mountain. Blow the trumpet in Zion, Zion. Sound the alarm. Somebody, are you with me? Everything you can. That's part of what tonight is about. 5:30, show the video. We'll pray and get out of here. You ready? Rock and roll. Back that up one more time, and I'm going to turn my mic off. Standing together as we're dismissed, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says this, "If my people, which are called by my name," Becky, do you have that shirt on? Turn around so everybody can see you. How much are those? How much are those? Do what? 8 to 12. Nothing. I'm not a t-shirt wearer, but those are good if you are. I need a white shirt with one of those, I guess. "If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." What a powerful promise. With one massive change, He's already forgiven our sin. We're already called the blessed of God. We are highly favored because of who we've put our faith in. All we lack is to ask and believe. And it doesn't hurt to say, "Lord, I know you've forgiven me, and I take it completely. But I'm sorry." Let me know, if you're in a good marriage, you know your spouse loves you, you might have had you a tiz or an all-out discussion. But you love each other. You love the Lord. And you know in the end, she's already forgiven you. He's already forgiven you. But you don't say, "Because I know that, I'm just going to move forward." No. This isn't a new legal system called the New Covenant. Because I know my sins are forgiven doesn't mean that I'm just back under another legal code. I'm in a relationship with Jesus, with the Father. And I'm going to go to them. Will you be Father and say, "Father, I'm sorry because I love you. I know you've already forgiven me, but I'm sorry. I won't feel right till I do this. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for your goodness." See how beautiful that is? Man, if we're not careful, this grace thing gets twisted. This is about living relationship, not another legal code. I'm sorry. Would you lift your hands all over the room today? I'm sorry. And I'm confident in the grace that you freely forgive. I'm going to climb up into your lap with confidence, knowing that you love me more often than not in spite of me. But you don't even think that way, for you have set your love upon me. How we love you today. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for your precious blood that was shed. Thank you, you didn't make it hard. All we've got to do is open up our mouth, confess that you are Lord. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord will be saved. If you are watching this by some strange coincidence, which I don't believe in, God knows. And through all this, your heart has been touched. I want to invite you today into relationship with the Father. Religion has been mean. Religion has a tendency to hurt and constrict and to beat people down. I don't like religion any more than you do, but I found out that Jesus is awesome. And a relationship with Him, which causes me to be able to enjoy a relationship with my Heavenly Father, is the ultimate. It's the only thing in life. It's what life is. Without it, we're empty. If you're here, if you're listening to this today and you don't know Him, I want to invite you into relationship with Him, and get ready because He'll come into you and change your heart, answer every need, put a new spirit on the inside of you, and give you hope in these desperate times. I'm going to ask our congregation to join us with those on video. I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer, and I believe that as you pray this prayer with me, God's going to do a miracle on the inside of you. Things that you've prayed about and ask God for, you're going to see that God He's not distant like you thought. He's always been near. This is why Paul said, He is near to you, your mouth and your heart. In this, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, you will be saved. I'm going to ask our congregation to join you as you join us, and let's pray this prayer together. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me, that you shed your blood for my sin. I believe that you were buried and rose again on the third day, victorious over death, over hell, over judgment. And today, I invite you to come into my life. Come into my heart. Be my personal Lord and Savior. Save me now according to your word. Make me new. I receive your salvation, your gift, right now in Jesus' name, by faith. Thank you for saving me and making me new. Right now, amen and amen. You prayed that prayer with us today. Find another believer. If you don't have a Bible, there's people all around. It amazes me how many Bibles there are. They give them away at some libraries. Get your Bible. Find somebody who is in a good Bible-believing church, and you'll know that they're a Bible-believing church, that they believe that Jesus came in the flesh, that he actually was buried and rose again. They'll teach you that salvation is by faith through grace, not of works, lest any man should boast. Find a good Bible-believing church. And if you have questions, you can email the church. Go to our webpage, CVFC, Chino Valley Family Church. You can look it up on Google, cvfamilychurch.com. And you can go on there and they'll give you information how you can get a hold of us. We'd love to pray with you, right back to you, however we got to. But we know today that the Lord has done a miracle in your life. And for those of us that are in here today, would you just lift up your hand all over the room? Thank you, Father, for changed lives. This is what it's all about. This is the main thing. And God, we thank you for changing our lives, for the lives that you're changing out there, that what the devil intended for evil, God is turning around for good. God bless you. Have a great rest of your holiday week in Jesus. Chad and Gina, would you join me here at the front?